In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. So this morning, let's see, it's a ferial day with the commemoration of St. Placid and companions. And anytime you have a ferial day, you can say either the commemorated Mass or some other Mass. So I do always like to, if a Mass has been skipped because it's fallen on a Sunday, like this past year with the guardian angels, I like to say that Mass later in the week if possible. So we are saying the Mass of the Guardian Angels today with a commemoration of St. Placid and companions. Now these saints, St. Placid was a noble of noble birth in the year 515 in Rome. And at 7 years old, his parents brought him to St. Benedict, who had just started his order of Benedictines, and gave him there to be a monk. And it wasn't like they were poor and couldn't care for him. He was from a noble family. They had plenty of money, plenty of resources, but that's what they did in those days when the faith was more sincere, we would say, when the church was young and people were extravagant in their generosity, extravagant in their faith, and would do such things. Not only the parents, but also the children were willing to give themselves wholly to God. So St. Placid, from 7 years old, imagine a little seven-year-old wearing a monk's habit, right? How endearing that would be, how precious that would be in our sight, much more the sight of God. At 7 years old, you know, he's in this monastery, and at 13, he follows St. Benedict. He changed monasteries. He was kind of nearby the city, and then I think he went to, it was Mount Subiaco or somewhere else that he goes. Well, as a younger man, a teenager, St. Placid was very helpful, very cheerful, but one time he is getting water at a lake, and he falls in, and he starts to drown. And another monk sees this, and I don't quite know how it all, the mechanics of it, but the monk begged the blessing of St. Benedict before rescuing St. Placid, who was drowning. So St. Benedict gives the monk a blessing, and the monk runs out across the top of the water, grabs Placid by the hair of his head, and then drags him back across the top of the water back to the shore of the lake. And then it was only after he returned that the monk realized he had just walked on water out and back. This is the age of faith, we would say, in the early church. And St. Benedict ascribed this to the perfect obedience of both the monk and of St. Placid, who simply did what they were told. So a little bit later, Placid is now a man, and he is sent to, I think it was a monastery on the island of Sicily. And there starts a foundation, and it gathers other monks, and it was African pirates in Northern African, right? So Morocco or somewhere, which is primarily, not Muslims at this point, that religion didn't exist, but more of barbaric, right? Kind of the desert nomadic people. A ship comes and lands and assaults the town and the monastery, and St. Placid and his companions are martyred. So thus their feast or the commemoration for today. And I would like to mention too on this opportunity where there's not a detailed involved life of the saint, so just something about the Mass in general, because what was it that inspired St. Placid to give his life in service to God? What was it that inspired St. Benedict to provide the opportunity to do so? Why is it that these men and women over the centuries will give their lives for something? It's because there is something real there. It's not a fantasy. It's not a fairy tale, as St. Paul says. If the resurrection is not a fact, then we are the most pitiable of men, right? But it is real. And that is, we would say, more fundamentally real, what we believe, even than what we can see. It is because there is substance behind the claims of the church. And that is why, of all things, in the Catholic religion, it is the Mass which is central. because it's in the Mass where the sacrament of Holy Communion occurs. And all the other sacraments, all the other six other sacraments are directed towards Holy Communion. Baptism gives you life that you might receive Holy Communion. Confirmation brings you to spiritual maturity that Holy Communion might be more effective. Confession restores you to life, if you've lost it, that you might receive Holy Communion. The priesthood exists so that there might be men capable of making Holy Communion exist in the world. The sacrament of matrimony exists so that people are in the world, that they can be baptized, that they can receive Holy Communion, right? And finally, extreme unction is kind of like the final cleansing of your soul, and extreme unction is part of the last rites. The last rites of the church are that extreme unction, the sacrament, but also the apostolic blessing and viaticum. What is viaticum? Holy Communion given one last time to that departing soul. And so all these things, we see all the sacraments are devoted and surrounded, surrounding that one sacrament, Holy Communion, and it occurs in the Mass. For it is the Mass, right, where Christ is made present once again, physically, really, on the altars. He mystically offers himself again to the Holy Father. He is mystically born into the world. He mystically dies. He leaves the world. We could say he wants to bring us with him. He comes to us, and we would say he never leaves the Father in heaven, but he comes to us. And so it's like he has brought us to the Father and the Father to us. This is the reality of the Mass. And it is this central reality around which the rest of the whole Catholic faith revolves. And so that is what we participate in when we come to Mass. That is why Holy Mass has always been, you would say, the focal point of the liturgical year. It's always the Masses. What is the cycle of Mass? The Sunday Mass sets the tone for the whole week, right? All the daily Masses, if it's not a particular feast, it would be the Sunday Mass. That is so important because when something is, how could you say this? Even if something is extraordinary, if we experience it frequently, it feels like it's common, right? What is common is readily available. And I mean, imagine if I don't know, gold was everywhere. It would lose its value, right, to us, because it's not scarce, it's not rare. And so this is the importance of our efforts to keep Mass fresh, to keep Holy Communion extraordinary, because we are prone to see something which happens frequently as common. And this is the exceedingly great humility of God and the love of God in that he was willing to expose himself to the negligence and contempt he knew was going to happen. He knew ahead of time, people are going to take the Mass for granted, people are going to treat Holy Eucharist with contempt, and he did it anyways. He wanted to give himself, because almost like even just that chance for somebody to appreciate it, just those few people whom he would know would continue to take it seriously, he was willing to expose himself to all that contempt, all of that other being taken for granted, for just those few people who would really understand and appreciate it. And that can be us. That should be every one of us. We should take time really to reflect frequently. The Mass is extraordinary every time we come to Mass, right? Especially for the priest, even for the priest, right? It is a matter of constant reminder. There's a little, infrequently, many sacristies, a little reminder, right? Framed on the wall, right where the priest can see it when vesting. It says, "O priest of God, offer this Mass as if it were your first Mass, your last Mass, your only Mass." How would we treat Mass if it was something that we could only go to once a year? If it was like, this is your one chance to go to Mass. We would make all kinds of preparations. We would spend, you know, weeks and months preparing for it. It would be this huge deal because it only happens once. But when it happens all the time, we lose that, right? We lose that sense of majesty, of the incredible value of it. And in a certain sense, we would say we cannot We cannot properly appreciate the Mass as it should be. It is inevitable. Even the most sincere and loving of saints is going to make Holy Communions distractedly, is going to attend Mass and not treat it properly. That is going to happen. You cannot let yourself get bogged down with guilt over that, oh no, you know, I was distracted at Mass. It's going to happen. Our task is to strive almost like it really is, shoveling that sand against the tide. It's always going to be there, but we always need to make the effort. I've said this before, but the spiritual life, this is the one test. The spiritual life is a test where you do get an E for effort. You're not going to get an A. You're not going to get an A+. I mean, everybody gets an F. You always get an F. You're always going to fail. Your best isn't good enough. That's not what God expects. He doesn't want your performance. He wants your effort, right? So that is what we ought to do. We should strive to make the Mass special to us, strive not to become complacent, knowing that it's going to happen. But we are constantly kind of bringing ourselves back, working to make it special. And in that regards, that is what enables us to be martyrs. That's why St. Placid and Companion were able to do what they do, why St. Benedict did what he did, is that they just tried their best. How many saints aren't martyrs, but would have been? All of them, practically. Whether we have to give our lives for Christ or not, if we are giving effort, then if the time comes, we will. And we don't have anything to worry about. So let us make that effort. Remembering the lives of the saints, remembering we have the good inspiration of the Holy Guardian Angel around us, we can always try our best. Even when it's not our best, we can remind ourselves, it wasn't my best, I'm going to do better tomorrow and keep going. That is what I would like all of us to do and all of us to ask from the saints. Not that we might perform, but that we might try. We might give that effort. Whether we fail or succeed, that's up to God. My job is to try. So St. Placid and Companion, St. Benedict, our Holy Guardian Angels, pray for us. God bless you all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.